teaching of Islam. One who regards anything of the disbelievers to be superior to that which is ordered by Islam. One who perpetrates an unlawful act regarding it to be lawful. Example, he commits adultery regarding it as lawful. One who believes in the unification of all existing religions, claiming that the various religions existing today are all true and all of them lead to Allah Ta'ala. One who claims that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, and Uthman radiallahu anhu, or any Sahabi is a non-believer, or he vilifies or rebukes them. One who will not become a non-believer if he says Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu is more virtuous than the other Sahaba radiallahu anhum. However, to say so is an act of bid'ah innovation. One who destroys a masjid intentionally or dishonors it, or if he kills an alim to dishonor him. One who perpetrates an act which is specific sign or feature of kufr. Example, wearing a cross, standing with reverence in front of an idol or photograph of an animate object, saint, etc. and regards it as a reward. If he regards it as a sin, he will not become a non-believer. One who intends to become a disbeliever. Example, he says, next month I will become a Christian. One who becomes a disbeliever, this person becomes a disbeliever immediately. One who asks someone regarding matters of the unseen and believes it. However, the Anbiya alayhi salam can be informed of certain matters through wahi revelation, and the awliya through kashf manifestations and ilham, and the general message by means of signs. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yesterday the 26th juz was recited in the Taraweeh Salam. There are many injunctions to be learned from this para, especially Surah Al-Hujarat. A person who is very difficult to choose and what to leave out. And especially in this surah, Surah Al-Hujarat, there are many things that a person will learn. And inshallah, when we come, we will discuss it. Before that, one verse of the Quran, the Kareem, Allah mentioned, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا, that we have ordained upon insan that he should be good and kind to his parents. حَمَلَتُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتُهُ كُرْهًا. And Allah specifically mentions that his mother, who bore him, who bears him with difficulty, and delivers him with difficulty. So a person should understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given greater rights to the mother over the father because of the difficulties that she experiences when she bears the child and when she delivers the child. And unfortunately today we also have become mixed up with the customs and adopted the customs of the non-Muslims where, example, where they celebrate Mother's Day, Father's Day, etc. And we also follow suit, and on that particular day we be good to our parents. Whereas in Islam, every day is Mother's Day. Every day in Islam is Father's Day. So we should not be caught up in these actions and these notions of the kuffar. One of the du'as that I'll mention in the bottom of here, that wa aslihni fi dhurriyati, it is a very effective du'a for one's children and progeny. What does it mean? That oh Allah grant me benefit and goodness in my progeny. It is mentioned in the hadith, when a person passes away, in qata' amaluhu, that his actions terminate except from three avenues. The first one is sadaqa ijariya. For example, a person builds a masjid, a person builds a well, etc. People benefit from that. Then as long as that well people are benefiting from, or the masjid, or a musafiqana, that person will get the reward. Second, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, O ilmin yuntafa'u bih, that he leaves knowledge behind. Either he leaves an example, he sponsors an alim, a student, or he leaves kitabs so people can benefit. And the third one, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, O waladin salihin yad'u lahu, that he leaves a pious son who will leave, or a pious child who will make dua for such a person. Continuing with the verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one verse mentioned, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَلَا تُبْطِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ, that O people of Iman, obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not nullify your deeds. So here the ulama explain, nullifying the deeds mean that if, example, a person does things for name and fame, like Allah mentioned, لَا تُبْتِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَىٰ, that do not destroy your good acts like giving charity by showing off, or ihsan jutlana, to remind a person all the time that I did this for you, I did that for you, or to cause him some type of harm, remind him all the time, this causes the person's deed to be destroyed. Secondly, that a person's good deeds should be according to the sunnah and the sharia. That is why the verse says, أَتِيُوا اللَّهُ وَأَطِيُوا الرَّسُولِ, obey Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a person does everything according to the sharia, then the person inshallah will have no problem. Coming to the surah, before that surah Fatah is mentioned, if Allah give us a tawfiq, if there is time we'll mention, but I feel deem it appropriate that this surah is very, very important. Why? Because this surah, another name is called Suratul Akhlaq or Suratul Adab. In other words, this surah inculcates in us qualities, good qualities of akhlaq, of good character and etiquettes. In other words, social etiquettes are learned from this very surah. And this surah is called Suratul Hujarat because reference is given to the rooms of the Azwaj Mutahharat radiallahu ta'ala anhunna. These rooms were very small in nature. In the time of Walid ibn Abdul Malik, he had converted these rooms and made it part of the masjid. At that very time, it was a very sad day in the life of the believers, where Hazrat Sa'id bin Musayyib rahmatullahi said that if only those rooms had to be kept and be a lesson for the people to come later on, and they could see what was the size of the rooms, how simple the rooms were. So nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ, that, O people of Iman, do not proceed Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and fear Allah. And thereafter the next verse, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَوْا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْكَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ, that, O people of Iman, do not raise your voice over the voices of Nabi, of the voice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ, and do not speak in such a tone like you address one another. Why? أَن تَحْبَطُ عَمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, lest your good deeds are destroyed and you don't even perceive it. The person might think that he is gaining good deeds, but when he goes in a qabr, he says there's no good deeds. In fact, there is zero, minus zero. So yeah, a person should be very careful. So yeah, it was the background of this verse. It mentioned a person came from the Bani Tamim tribe, and he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to appoint a leader. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu suggested her by the name of Qaqa bin Ma'bad. And as Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned, Aqra bin Habis. So while they were discussing, they started arguing, and this so happened that the voices were raised over the voice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is why these verses were revealed. And thereafter, after this verse was revealed, as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, then he used to actually whisper to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Umar radiallahu anhu used to speak so softly that sometimes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to ask him what he said. And also these verses, if you go to the Rawda Athar of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, above these verses are clearly written over them. But unfortunately today, that because of the cell phones, because of music, etc., and so much of bi'adabi has taken place in front of Rosa Mubarak. Understand, that is the place where is the best place in the world. Why? That is the place where Allah is looking at you and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looking at you. So how much of adab a person should have? To such an extent, respected brothers, that so much of precautions were taken after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if anyone raised his voice or made any other noise, as Aisha radiallahu anhu is to reprimand him and tell him that you are causing takrif to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the renovations were done to the roof of Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the Turkish Empire, the Ottoman Empire, so much of precautions they took that they had sheets covering the roof, and so much of precautions they took that people beneath the construction didn't realize the construction was taking place. So slightly the nails were knocked into the wood, etc. So this, a person in today's time should be very, very careful. That is why it is lazim and very, very important that a person prepares himself spiritually before he goes to Rauza Akbar, to the Rauza Athar. That is why the kitabs of Fadari Hajj, of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, in there are sections of written behavior in Madinatul Munawwara. How to go to the Rauza Athar. And so many other in Kitab Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alim, visiting the Haramain Sharifin, so many series of our Hazrat of how a person should now behave in Madinatul Munawwara. We do all the preparations with regards to booking our tickets or booking the hotels, etc. But unfortunately, the spiritual preparation we don't make. So a person, it is advisable that a person goes not once or twice, but three couple times over the sections before he leaves for Madinatul Munawwara. Allah give us a tawfiq. Also, it's very, very important that the noise that people make over them, especially the women folk, obviously we can't see them because of the isparda over them. But those who are standing in front of Rauza Athar, they can actually not see the woman, but they can hear the woman. And unfortunately, this is something because bi'adabi and taklif to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is mentioned once there was a competition that who can speak the biggest lie. So there were 50 contestants and there was a big prize up for grabs. So the first person came and he said that once I came in a room, there were so many women and not a pin drop silence you could hear. So he said that close the competition, this person will get the prize. That's impossible. So nevertheless, a person should have adab for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also the women folk should take precaution as well. There are many women, alhamdulillah, who wear the hijab. But when they go over there, they think to themselves that there is no need to make parda. Because we all women folk are over them. So firstly we should understand, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, when she used to go in by the cover of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she used to go without parda. And when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, her father was buried, she used to go without parda. But the day Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu had passed away and he was buried there, then immediately she used to don the parda. So much of respect she had. And imagine, and Hazrat Aisha, this is a lesson for women also. There also another point you should understand, that there are cameras all around, and who are in the control room are men. So they also have the opportunity of looking. So this things a person should be cognizant of. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, continuing the verses, Inna alladhina, the verses of the Quran, Inna alladhina yunadunaka min wara'i al-hujarati aksarum la yaqilun. That those people, referring to the Bedouins, the Hatis, who come to you and ask for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in such a way behind the hujra, and they used to say Ya Muhammad very, very loudly. So this is something, and Nabi sallallahu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says aksarum la yaqilun. They don't have understanding. They don't have adab. So when a person goes there, then he should lower his voice. And from this verse it is mentioned, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, if he needed to inquire anything from the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, then he would out any knocking on the door, he used to wait outside. Then the person who should come outside to ask Ibn Abbas, how is it you didn't knock my door, I should have attended to you. Then he said that an alim, a scholar, a person who has knowledge of deen in a community is like a Nabi. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has directed the Nabi, that directed us that we should wait for the Nabi to come out and then we address him. So this we learn many things as well. And also the verse mentioned before that, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la taqaddimu. Do not proceed whether in words or in actions. And even walking in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or walking our times in front of our shaykh, or your parents, etc. Like it was mentioned yesterday in Adal Mu'asharat, except the example, a person needs assistance, then by all means he can go front. Once Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Abu Darda radiallahu walking in front of Abu Bakr radiallahu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reprimanded him and told him that you are walking in front of a person who is better than you in the dunya and akhirah. So a person should have a lot of respect for the ulama, our mashayikh, etc. Continuing with the verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident of Yam, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. In this surah alone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us 5 times, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. O people of iman, eh mere pyare banne, O those people of iman, Allah is addressing us. So Ya Allah says that those people who come to you, who are fasik, open sinners, and they come to you with news. And so Ya Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling that fatabayyanu, verify that news, verify that information, lest you cause harm out of ignorance and become remorseful later on. The background of this verse is that the leader of the Bani Mustalik tribe, whose daughter was Hazrat Juwayriya radiallahu anha, was married to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this person, the leader of the Bani Mustalik tribe, he came and he accepted Islam on the hands of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he pledged to pay the zakah. And then he went to, and he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will go back to the community, invite them towards Islam, and I will collect all the zakat, and then you can designate a day, a certain day of the month, and you can send someone to collect it. When that particular day, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did send someone, and who was that? Well, his name was Walid. Walid bin Uqba radiallahu anhum. And he thought this person that these were all foes and enemies towards me, and he feared that it will cause him harm. That is why he did not go over them. Meantime, this person of the Bani Mustalik, Haris radiallahu anhu, he thought to himself, maybe perhaps Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is angry with me. That is why he did not send someone to me. So in this way, this person comes back, that Walid bin Uqba. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him what had transpired. So he said that unfortunately these people refused to give the zakat. In the meanwhile, he did not even go over them. So these people from the Bani Mustalik tribe left their town, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became very angry, and he could not tolerate it, and he said, if this is the case, then he sends Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu to wage war against such people. And thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned that they stopped outside Madinatul Munawwara. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu asked, what are you coming here for? We are coming towards you. And then the whole conversation takes place, and everything is verified and clarified. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed his verses that a person comes to with news, and then you should verify it. Here also a person should understand that there are many trouble causes who cause a lot of problems, and we like to add masala, etc., and cause difficulties for other people. So now a person shouldn't now listen to him, but rather listens to both sides of the story. And also, as Mufti Shafi Sahib has mentioned, that this Ali bin Uqba was a genuine Muslim. But Allah mentioned this term very to reprimand him, that how he expressed the information to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not tolerate it. So he mentioned that if this is the case of a reliable and righteous person, then what to say of a genuine fasik and a trouble causer? So we should become very, very careful. Thereafter, continuing with the verses, as I mentioned, there are so many lessons to learn from this. Adab, Mu'asharat, etc. Allah tells the believers, yeah, again, O people of Iman, do not mock some people, lest they are considered better than you. In other words, Allah is addressing the men, that you should not mock other men, perhaps they are better than you. And thereafter Allah addressed the woman folk separately, that you also should not mock and ridicule other women, perhaps they are better than you. So yeah, a person might ask a question, maybe it is permissible for men to mock the woman and vice versa. So yeah, Mufti Shafi Sahib mentioned a very brilliant point, and he said that in those days there was no intermingling of sexes. So there was no way where a man will mock a woman or vice versa. So in our society also, intermingling of sex is not allowed. So this will not give rise to such situations where a man will mock a woman and vice versa. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, that do not find fault with yourselves. Yeah, the word mentioned yourselves. This is just like Allah mentions, لَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, do not kill yourselves. What does it mean that do not kill one another? Why? If you kill another person, then your life can be taken as well in qisas. So by you finding faults with others, then it is natural that others will find faults with you. There is mentioned in Arabic saying that absaru nas man nazara ila uyubihi. The person who sees the best is that person who sees his own faults. Like our Hazrat Dan Barakatuh says, that Mala Yusur Kandiri rahmatullahi says, Allah has given us two eyes. One is to look of the needs of others, and one eye to look after our own needs. Another great Buzruk mentioned, on a similar context, he said, Allah has given us two eyes. Why? One eye is to look in the good in others, and the other eye to look in our own faults. There was a certain king by the name of Shah Bahadur Zafar Rahmatullahi. And he mentioned, it was our habit, hobby, that we used to search for faults of others until we realized, and when our gaze fell on our own faults, then we realized and came to know how much faults we have. Thereafter the verse continues, وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا, that do not call one another with bad nicknames. Nicknames that are offensive and insulting to other people, these are not permitted in Islam. Neither also to imitate a person, how a person walks, or a person uses his hand to show, make ishara, how short this person is, or how fat this person is. This is not tolerated and not accepted. But the ulama explain, if for identification purposes the person doesn't mind. For example, a person has a pet name that the family members give him, then this is permitted. Like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called one sahabi Dhul Yadin, because this person had long hands. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him this title Dhul Yadin. Certainly Abdullah ibn Umar rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned those rawis of a hadith that they had certain names. For example, Araj, some person was lame, or A'mash, one was weak-eyed, etc. So many titles were given. Like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was known as Atiq or Siddiq. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was known as As-Faruq. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu was known as Dhul-Nurayn, the possessor of two lights. In other words, he was married to the two daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here also we should take into cognizance that naming our children, that we should not look for fancy names, but look for names which are appropriate and have good meaning. Unfortunately, today we want to anglicize the names. Like one friend of mine, his daughter's name is Hannah, with a tajdeed on the noon. And she was the mother of Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam. And unfortunately, the family members, I overheard also people calling her Hannah. And this is one of the names of one of the Farsika actors or singers of today's time. So they are all calling her Hannah, Hannah. So I informed him that this is not Hannah, it's Hannah. So and I brought it to his attention. So many names has effect on a person. It is mentioned of one Shia who had two donkeys. And because he had hatred for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu, he named the two donkeys, one Umar and one Abu Bakr. So it so happened Allah showed him in this world also. So one day he was working and he bent down. So one of the donkeys kicked him so hard that he flew up into the air and he landed down and he died. So one alim was informed of this and he told, go make do his investigation. I'm sure it was Umar that kicked him. So this person went and he did investigation and he found, yes, it was the donkey that they called Umar. So yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proved it to him. So yeah, also we should learn another thing is that we should not give short names. Our Ustaz Mufti Mutara Sahib Dawar Barakatuh mentioned one of his talks that many a person's name is Abdul Rahman and we give him short names, for example, Raymond. So this is wrong. What a beautiful name, the servant of Rahman, called him Abdul Rahman. Similar the name of Muhammad, we call him Mo. So this is all wrong. Fatima, so many lugats, Fati, Fatu and all funny things. So a person should avoid all these things. Carry on with the ayat of the Quran al-Kareem. Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran min adh-dhann, that O people of Iman, abstain from suspicious and bad thoughts. Why? Inna ba'da adh-dhanni ithmu, that some of the thoughts are wrong. Some, not all, person should have good thoughts as well. But yeah, what it means, that a person has always suspicious thoughts of everyone. Someone just look at someone, oh, this person is like this, or this person like that. Like in the mention in the kissa that Aisha radiallahu anha in a waqi'a if walawla istami'tum dhanna al-mu'minuna wal-mu'minatu bi anfusihim khayra, why didn't they have the sahaba radiallahu anha have good thoughts about that incident of Aisha radiallahu anha? So many good thoughts of Allah. Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that ana inda dhanni 'abdi bi, that I treat my servants according to expectations of me. If he thinks that Allah is a jabbar and he will take me to task and he will punish me, then this is wrong. Have that mercy in Allah is Rahman, He's Rahim, Allah is compassionate. So have good thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالظَّنِّ, that avoid suspicious. Why? فَإِنَّ الظَّنِّ أَكْذَبَ الْحَدِيثِ, because this is the worst of lies, to have the suspicious and to follow these thoughts, etc. This is something wrong. And also, as I mentioned, that if a person comes up from a bar or a cinema from a wrong place, even the person might have done wrong. But now, if you have bad thoughts about him on the day of Qiyamah, you have to bring a witness. And now a court case will be against you. Where is your witness that you said that now you had this bad thoughts? This person is a zani. This person is an evil person. Even though that person might have done wrong, but you have good thoughts, you get free sawab, that you had good thoughts about a believer. Thereafter, now look at the how beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. The first Allah mentions that having bad thoughts, suspicions. Thereafter Allah mentions, تَلَا تَجَسَّسُ, do not spy. This, see, it leads one to the other. Once you have bad thoughts about something, then automatically now you want to go, you want to spy, you want to eavesdrop, you want to listen to all things. A wonderful incident is the mention of Umar radiallahu anhu. Once he was making gush, and he heard a certain girl, a singing girl singing for elderly person. So as Umar radiallahu anhu scaled the wall, and he saw this person also had alcohol over there, and he reprimanded this person. So now look at the justice of Islam. This person, he spoke to Umar radiallahu anhu. He said, "Oh Umar radiallahu anhu, I have done one wrong, but you have done three wrongs. First and foremost, Allah says that لا تدخلوا بيوتا غير بيوتكم حتى تستأنسوا, that do not enter any person's home without permission. You enter without permission. Secondly, لا وادخلوا بيوتا, that Allah mentions the ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, وادخلوا بيوتا من أبوابها, that enter to the front, to the doors, but you scale the wall. Thirdly, you done a third wrong, that ولا تجسس, you are spying over me. Umar radiallahu anhu asking for maaf, that what I have done is wrong. And then after he goes, he sits in a majlis, as Umar radiallahu anhu sees him coming, he calls him and he calls him forward. And this person, Umar radiallahu anhu whispers in his ear and tells him, from that day what I've done, I scaled the wall and I saw you, never ever did I mention to any soul. So this person tells Umar, you bring your ears closer to me. And he says, from that day when you scaled the wall and you found me, from that day I gave up alcohol. So look at the beauty of Islam. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the next step. وَلَا يَخْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, do not backbite one another. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ, that do you love to eat the flesh of your dead brother, something which you dislike. One is you eating the flesh of not an animal but a human. Secondly, it is your brother. And thirdly, it is your dead brother. How can this be so? So yeah, a person should stay away from ghibah. Like after the Taraweeh Salah, the Islah Akhlaq is mentioned. So what beautiful points are mentioned over them. On this also, Imam Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayhi, when he came to know anyone made ghibat of him, he used to give them some hadya. Why? Because you transfer all your good deeds to me. So as appreciation, I'm giving you a hadya. Same Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that if you want to backbite about your mother. Why? Because if you backbite about her, you're giving her your good deeds. And what is the reality of ghibat? That in, you are transferring all your good deeds into your enemy's account. Only a fool will go to a bank and they will ask for his enemy's account number, etc., and deposit all his money into that person's account. And worse than that, if all your money gets finished, now you take all his debts. This is what will happen on the day of Qiyamah, where all your good deeds will go to him. And then when the good deeds become exhausted, all his sins will come to you. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know the famous incident in the month of Ramadan, where two women were fasting, and they could not tolerate it. Why? Because they were involved in backbiting. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even told them that they should vomit, and pieces of flesh, of human flesh, could be seen. So Allah give us the tawfiq of avoiding all these things, of having bad thoughts, of eavesdropping, spying, and also making ghibat of other people. Thereafter, Allah mentioned also one item that وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهِ اتْقَاكُمْ. The background of this verse, on one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Bilal Habshi radiallahu anhu that call out the azan. Then at that time, the Quraysh, certain people made comments that one person mentioned, I am so fortunate that my father was not alive to see this day, that a Negro, a dark-skinned person is made to call out azan. Allah mentions, Inna akramakum inna Allah atqakum. Allah does not look at your color, or your wealth, or your status, or how healthy you are. Allah looks what's in your heart, how much of taqwa you got. So this is something very important. Towards the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Qaf, that وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ, that indeed we have created insan, and we are aware of the whispers that enter his heart. Everything that comes into his heart, the thoughts, the good thoughts or bad thoughts, the wasawis, all this comes to the heart. Allah is fully aware of it. And Allah mentioned, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِينِ, that we are more closer to him than even his jugular vein. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. In Allah's knowledge is encompassing. Everything that comes into a person's heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of. there Allah mentions is يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِيَانِ عَلِي يَمِينُ عَلِي الشِّمَانِ قَئِيدٍ, that those two receiving angels, when they receive, in other words, when they record, one on the right and one on the left, those angels that are sitting, that is kiram and katibin. And that is why Hazrat Dawud Barakatuh encourages us that when we make salam, make intention of the our angels on the left, right and left. Why? Because these are like our policemen. These are the people that when you have consciousness that they are with us all the time, then a person will have haya, the sharam, to commit any gunas, etc. So this, they are written on the one on the right or on the left. Ibn Kasir rahmatullahi mentions, he said that on the right shoulder is the Amir. He is the Amir and the supervisor, and he also records the good deeds. And on the left is the other angel that records all the bad deeds. And to such an extent, when good deeds are done, then automatically it is recorded. But when a bad deed is done, then the Amir tells the one on the left shoulder, hold on, maybe this person will make tawbah. And if he makes tawbah, then don't record it. But if he doesn't make tawbah, then only you can record it. So now look at how merciful Allah is. Thereafter, the ayah continues, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلِ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ, that there is not a word that escapes a person's mouth, but there is someone, there is a guard to record each and everything. So everything is recorded by Allah, by these angels. And Hasan Basri rahmatullahi says that when a person passes away, then all his records of deeds will be folded and put around a person's neck. And then he quoted the ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, وَقُلُّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ, that every insan, that we will, on every human fate, we have tied to his neck, or his fate. And وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا, and on the day of Qiyamah, we will bring it forth, and he will receive it wide open, that kitab of his. And what will be said? Ikra kitabah. That read your own kitab. Kafa bi nafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba. Today it is sufficient for you to take your own hisab. So every word that we say, it is recorded. And it is mentioned that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that every word is recorded. Every statement is recorded. Then on Thursdays, the malaika, those are in charge of it, they now they scrutinize everything, which is rewardable and punishable, they retain. Other than that, then they take it out. And then they quote the ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, يَمْهُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتُ, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can wipe out what he wants, and he can leave what he wants. So a person should realize that there is accountability, there is question and answers. Like in this world, a person now, he fears his boss if he does anything wrong, or when he fears his wife if he comes late, that all these questions will come. And like one person asked his friend, do you know why the word woman and wife starts with W? So he said, I don't know. He said, because all questions start with W. Why, who, where, when? And also, before you relate this to your wife, understand warnings also with W. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the tawfiq.
قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما قال عبد لا إله إلا الله قط مخلصا إلا فتحت له أبواب السماء حتى يقضي إلى العرش ما اجتنب التغاير. رواه الترمذي. حضرت أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه narrates from نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم, no slave recites لا إله إلا الله with sincerity except that the doors of the heavens open up for it until it reaches the arsh, the throne of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, provided he abstain from major sins. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates from Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no slave recites La ilaha illallah with sincerity except that the doors of the heavens open up for it until it reaches the arsh, the throne of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, provided he abstain from major sins.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم فاذكروني أذكركم للميراه جايك ميدانه توهتوه 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 اور میرے تن میں بجائے آب گل درد دل ہو درد دل ہو درد دل پھر سے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھوں جدر سب کو نظر سے اپنی گرا دوں تجھ سے فقط فریاد رہے اب تو رہے بس آدم یا پھر دے زبائے میرے